Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
How are we doing? Oh, I got thumbs up from the back. All right. It's good to see everyone here tonight. All right, that takes care of item B. Let me check that off. Item C, Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag. And we have a new voluntold person tonight. I'm so excited. Please help me welcome our new-to-go person that helps us get our meeting going. He's volunteered to do the Pledge of Allegiance tonight. Put our hands together and welcome James Siebert to do our Pledge of Allegiance tonight. Say hi to everyone, James. Woo! All right. We're breaking them in tonight.
Yeah. Please rise. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. No, yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, now you're done with that. It won't happen again for a while. I won't even tell you who volunteered you. Okay, moving on to adoption of the agenda. Seeking a motion.
I move.
I need a second.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to item E, recognitions and presentations. Tonight we have the proposed 2025-2026 Ontario Montclair School District budget as presented by our very own Phil Hillman, Chief Business Official.
Thank you, Madam President. Good evening, trustees, Dr. Hammond, Cabinet, and guests in the audience. Tonight we have a couple of requisite business items to take care of relative to our budget. And so I'll talk to you about tonight's agenda first. There are two public hearings. One is on our estimated fund balance at the end of next year, and the other is a public hearing on our budget itself for next year. Just to give you a little context, in the next agenda, so on June 26th, we will actually be evaluating and ask the board to evaluate our budget and consider our budget for approval, in addition to having another public hearing. So I thought I'd just give you a little bit of the agenda going forward. So why are we having a public hearing on the fund balances? It's a requirement by Ed Code. Basically, if you have savings account or fund balance above your minimum reserves, you're required to daylight those in a public meeting, which we're doing tonight. And so on the next slide, you can see these are the details of the amounts that we project at the end of next year that are above and beyond our minimum state reserve. So what does that mean? Well, our board policy states that we need to keep at least 17% in reserves. But also, we set aside for some other things as well, like textbook adoptions. We have some old golden handshakes that are out there. And so we have some strategic reserves sitting in our fund balances. And so this is what we will be having the public hearing on later. In addition, I just wanted to comment that why do we have reserves anyway? Well, it's pretty obvious to most of us why we have reserves, and it's really to address any short-term economic issues that might come up, because as we've seen over the past few years, COVID, state taxes down, economic downturns, it's always good to have reserves, because if we get into where we need to spend some of those reserves, we have them available. And they don't disrupt our operations and our programming. And that's the most important thing, is we want to avoid disrupting our programs to the extent we can. So just wanted to say, these are our savings accounts. I always relate it to your personal budget, where you might spend money on travel, but if you have your water heater go out, you want to have some reserves to spend to install a new water heater. The other public hearing that I'll talk about is our proposed budget itself. This is where we take feedback from the public. If anyone has any comments or suggestions to include in our budget, It is required by Ed Code. We do it every year. But it's also now connected to the local control funding formula, which is our biggest revenue source, and also connected to our LCAP, our local control accountability plan. So here's the slide that shows what our multi-year projection looks like as of now, prior to public comment. And just to orient you with this slide real quick, I'll go through a few things. So the blue shaded there is where we anticipate ending the fiscal year that we're currently in, so 24-25. It's called estimated actuals. The next shaded area in green is our preliminary budget. This shows what we are planning in our budget for next year prior to the public hearing. And the last two columns are required by the state, but they show what the next 2 years beyond the budget year look like as well. And we have to take out our crystal ball and say, what do we think the state's gonna do in terms of revenues and how are our expenses gonna go and things like that. So with that orientation, I'll talk to you about some of the things that we key in on at the in the finance department. And that is, what are we receiving more revenues than expenditures, or are we spending more than our revenues? And that yellow line item, you can see we are projecting to deficit spend for the next several years. Fortunately, we have the reserves to do so, so it won't disrupt programming. But it is something that Cabinet and we have talked about with the board in terms of addressing the deficit spending going forward. But that is something that we look at. The other is, what is our ending balance? What does our fund balance look like? And are we above, or at least meeting, the minimum state reserve? And as you can see, we're well above the state reserve. The state reserve right here, the minimum reserve, 3%, is $12 million on the far right. And we are well above that in all the years. So what I would say is we will be adopting a solvent budget for this and the next 2 years. One quick comment on the multi-year projection. This does contemplate the ending of some one-time funding. So we got a lot of COVID money. That's now gone. We still have a few remnants of COVID money left, and that's the Educator Effectiveness Fund. We have $1.6 million tied up in personnel in the budget year. We also have some Learner Recovery Block Grant, which we have $10 million of personnel expenditures tied up in 2025-26. So those are in the budget coming out of those funds. However, those funds will expire. We will run out of those funds. And as of now, we do not have those positions coming back into the general fund beginning in 26-27. So there are some decisions we need to make going forward. But I just wanted to comment on that on the multi-year projection. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Well, thank you, Phil. I'll go ahead and start with Trustee Martinez. Any questions, comments?
Yes. Thank you so much for your thoroughness. Do you know if when they adopt the budget, is there going to be any kind of tweaks that you would need to do?
Yeah, excellent question. Future? And I'm glad you tied in the state budget process to this. Mm-hmm. So we are probably 15 to 20 days from hearing, you know, that the legislature and the governor has some sort of agreement. I anticipate by June 26th, the governor may end up even signing the state budget. They require to by June 30th. So yes, I do anticipate a few tweaks. What they are, I don't know yet. Our best guidance is goes back to the May revise when the governor updated his economic projections. He made a few proposals. So for example, he proposed a one-time block grant for the district. Mm-hmm. Back of the envelope calculations show that we might receive as much as $5 million for the one-time block grant. Clearly, that would be something we would adjust our budget for as soon as we hear that that is coming. What I'm hearing, though, is the legislature's kind of kicking it around. It may not come through. It may come through. Don't know yet. Another one is the TK aid. So we have to go from a 12-to-1 ratio at TK to a 10-to-1 ratio at TK. The legislature recognizes that and has actually come forward and said, well, we think we should have some money allocated to that as well. But it is not a sure thing. It's not a slam dunk. So we haven't counted on our budget as of yet. So I think that's an excellent question. Yes, changes will be coming to our budget based on the state budget adoption.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, and we'll see what happens. Thanks.
Thank you, Flora. Trustee Galvez.
Thank you, Phil, and your team. And I know that we were recently at the San Bernardino County Schools gave a budget meeting, mm-hmm. and everything is very up in the air with them. They wonderful presentation. Thank you so much for the county for putting that on. Sonia was there, and others of our team were there, and everything. And it's good to have more information than we have, and it's good to have these projections that give us just a solid foundation, because we're trying to run a budget with other people that we don't see that are, you know. So yes, we're trying to keep everything steady and the boat steady, but we're all like, but we also have people that we don't know that are also, you know, messing with our budget too. So this is always good, and thank you for the stability, Phil.
You're welcome. And that presentation you went to is excellent. I missed it this year. I had a prior commitment, but it is excellent what they do and what they talk about. I did review the slides afterwards, and fortunately it was consistent with what we knew. Yeah. One other thing that you mentioned, thank you to our finance staff. I mean, they do the bulk of the work, and they're a great team putting this together, and you'll see the full budget at the next meeting. So thank you for remembering that.
Thank you, Sarah. Trustee Brake.
As always, Phil, thank you to you and your team.
You. Trustee Alvarado.
Thank you, Phil. I was at the budget workshop as well, and I was glad to see that they're not going to touch ELOP and the nutrition fund. They're going to keep it. But based on what you said, if they don't do any changes, we're still good for the next couple of years, but I know there's going to be changes. But
absolutely, yeah, and you know, it's always the type of thing we're pretty right, but we will definitely be wrong, because when you're dealing with high level numbers like this, you aren't going to be exact. But things change as well, and we adapt our budget for those changes. Collective bargaining being one, hiring a position here and there, that type of thing. So yeah, we do adapt our budget. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Clear and concise as always, Phil. Our people do a great job. I have a question. All school districts have to do this multi-year projections, don't they?
Correct. It's a requirement at the state level.
Then how do some of these things happen in other places that shouldn't happen?
Because they don't have Phil.
Well,
because they don't have Phil.
How long do you have? How much time do you have? We do see other districts, fortunately not many, but across the state we do see districts that are in financial trouble. And, you know, it's a variety of reasons. I've seen it, not in districts I've worked in, but I've seen it in other districts.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, it happens for a variety of reasons, misestimating personnel.
I mean, like laying off 350 people because you're that much in the hole. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's the state's up and down nature of our economics doesn't help. You know, we went from a 4% COLA estimate to a 1% COLA estimate. Well, that's pretty substantial to us. So, you know, things like that do occur. That is why prudent reserves are always a good idea.
Right, but that's why you're projecting 2 or 3 years out.
Right.
And, adjusting as you go.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm a little bewildered by it is all. Did you want to add on? Okay, go ahead. I'm just teasing you.
I'm so sorry. It just the questions come after. I know that you probably will report. I'm sure you're going to report on the next time. But a lot of the cuts that are happening, or the proposed cuts that are going to that are being done with Medi-Cal and Medicaid, is that going to at all affect us, or the reimbursement for us for future?
You know, I think that's an excellent question. I wouldn't rule it out. We have not made reductions to our projections yet, but I wouldn't rule it out just from everything I'm hearing about the administration of Medi-Cal and the administration of Medicaid and things like that. So I wouldn't rule it out. We haven't made reductions yet, though, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Thank you. So far, the reimbursements are good, right?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Flora. Okay, Dr. Hammond.
You know, just along the same lines with the Medicaid uncertainty, since it's federal dollars and the DOGE cuts and everything, even when they're prior to this administration, I'm talking about a federal level, the Medicaid reimbursement dollars are very unpredictable. They don't come in a very steady, consistent manner. So even though we do the fee scheduling and filling out the forms, until you see the actual check come in, I think our last apportionment was a catch-up of multiple years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right. It's even with supportive administrations, it's still money you just can't consistently count on because of the timing. So I just have a couple questions, and I'll start with the positive a little bit, talking about the uncertainties. I know the governors may revise projected, you know, and it's uncertain, but there is the possibility based on the May revise that there could be some one-time apportionment that we might be a benefactor of, and then also the TK desires of the governor may or may not be mirrored by the legislature. But assuming that the legislature does agree on those two points, those could be some positive elements that would be adjusted when we do first interim, because I don't, even with the budget passing, you know, it's not going to give you enough time by the 26th to put the document together. So those adjustments could have some positive impact on the multi-year, but won't be reflected till down the road. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
And so maybe you can walk me through, Phil, slide 8. I'll go backwards, starting with slide 8. When we look at maybe, I just want to clarify, because I know the board has a very clear understanding, the ESSER dollars that we got during the COVID, the three pandemic styles, those were federal dollars. And as the governor was doing his budgets during the pandemic, he gave a pretty significant apportionment of state dollars. So the ESSER dollars sunsetted, and that's why we had the reductions, and we were able to be creative to call back a lot of positions, but it did impact people being on a 39-month list. These are state dollars, is that correct? These are not
Yes.
federal dollars. So they're actually sunsetting a little bit behind the federal dollars. But when we look at the Educator Effectiveness Grant, that's basically our third day of PE. That's basically, you know, the commitment we made on a one-year MOU. And so with those funds sunsetting, there is no funding source for the
Correct.
Third day of PE, unless it gets shifted as a priority for the board's consideration. But either way, if it does end up being a priority, hypothetically, that means we're making a trade-off somewhere else.
Correct.
So, and then you go to the Learning Recovery Grant, which is a significant, and I want to say roughly, Dr. Macias, 57 teacher, or not 57 residential subs in that mix. And that's a little, I intentionally point that out because that can be a little deceiving. Because if we say, well, we're not going to do residential subs, or we can just, you know, eliminate that from the line item, it still is a cost to the district because we still have to have subs in the building. The residential subs mitigate us having to pick up the phone and call substitutes in for teacher vacancies or teacher absences. And so even though you eliminate that, you're still going to have to make an assumption, well, how much are we going to pay for substitute teachers then? So we have to kind of think real creatively on the impact, because this Learning Recovery Grant, we say, well, all the TOA positions and all these specialized positions that are in the Learning Recovery, you eliminate those positions, well, there's your savings. That's not necessarily the case when it comes to residential subs. So we do have some huge challenges. You take a very modest COLA, take the step and column movements, take increased costs, uncertainty about whatever benefits come from the May revise that would get reflected by the state legislature, whether we get the one time or the TK help, still will not equate enough to what has to be made as far as decisions have to be made regarding these state funds that are sunsetting. So there are some pretty Herculean efforts that are pending on not only our behalf as a staff, but also for the board's consideration. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and fortunately we have the reserves and the runway to do it, if need be.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hammond. Okay, thank you, Phil. Thank your staff for us too, yes?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to section F, public comments by attendees. This is inclusive of OMTA, CSEA, parent groups, individual staff, students, families, business partners, public agencies, nonprofit groups, and other members of the public. And our speaker, first up, Tisha Curry, come on down. Thank you. Are they squeaky? Like Rocco. Remember Rocco's Modern Life?
Good evening, President Rivas, trustees, Dr. Hammond, and our cabinet. Today, I want to talk to you about how teaching isn't just what I do, it's who I am. And the people I work with are the reason it has felt like so much more than just a job. This place, OMSD, is where I've celebrated, mourned, struggled, and grown over the last 27 years. I have worked with many people, taught over 650 students, and worked with 10 different principals. I've taught every grade level from TK through 5th, and even a few combos along the way. We hear it all the time that change is necessary. And sure, sometimes it is. Change can mean growth, it can mean progress. When I changed grade levels because Wiltsy got our sixth graders, that was change and it was okay, I understood the why. When we had to reduce the number of teachers because of declining enrollment and I was moved grade levels, I understood the why. At some point throughout the years, I stopped thinking of many of the people that I worked with as just as colleagues. Instead, they became much more. When my son needed blood for open heart surgery, my colleagues became heroes. And when I had emergency surgery, they showed up, not just with food, but with love. This isn't just a workplace, it's been a lifeline in a family. And sometimes that is why when we call change, feels more like something else and it feels like loss. So when I made the nearly impossible decision to leave my work family for another school in 2016, I grieved. I knew the why, I grew because of it, I moved because it was necessary for me. I'm not asking the district to stop making changes. I'm asking it to lead with humanity, to share the why before the move, before the decision, before the disruption. Because when people are moved the year before their retirement, when someone is uprooted from the school that they've served since high school, it's not just a change, it's loss. And without the why, it's hard to find the purpose, it's hard to find the growth. We all want what's best for our kids, but what's best for our kids includes valuing the adults who show up for them every single day. Let us stay with our family. Help us stay rooted. But if there is going to be change, then help us with the why. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Irma, are there any more yellow slips?
No additional.
Thank you. Moving on to consent calendar, seeking a motion.
I move.
I need a second.
I second.
Somebody seconded over there, Ms. Irma. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to discussion, action, and public hearings under H. H1 is the first reading of Board Policy and Administrative Regulation 6163.1. Library first reading of Board Policy. Let me try that again. First reading of board, that's second time, really. First reading of Board Policy and Administrative Regulation 6163.1, Library Media Materials. Seeking a motion.
I move.
I need a second.
I second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving down, Learning and Teaching, H2. Ontario Montclair School District's Local Control Accountability Plan, Federal Addendum. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Was that everybody accounted for?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any noes? See, I can hear you guys. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. You guys don't lag there. I can hear each one of you. Okay. H3. Is Ontario Montclair School District's English Learner Master Plan. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Thank you, Flora.
I second.
Thank you, Sonia. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone saying no? Anyone saying I don't know? Okay, so carried. Moving on to Human Resources. H4, adoption of the Declaration of Need for Fully Qualified Educators. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Thank you. Need a second?
I second.
Thank you. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That was melodic. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving down to H5, Memorandum of Understanding between the Ontario Montclair School District and the Ontario Montclair Teachers Association regarding assigning incentive for certificated hard-to-fill positions.
Move.
Thank you.
Second.
I second.
I accept. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. We're biting at the bit. All right, H6, Memorandum of Understanding between the Ontario Montclair School District and the California School Employees Association is Chapter 108 regarding assigning incentive for classified hard-to-fill positions. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Did you get one, Irma? Okay, I need a second.
A second.
All right, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving down to, under SELPA and Equity, our public hearing. Regarding the proposed 2025-2026 Ontario Montclair School District Special Education Local Plan Area Annual Service Plan. Public hearing opened at.
Madam President, the time is 6:31 p.m.
Thank you. The mics are open.
Madam President, the time is 6:32 p.m.
Mics are closed. Thank you. Under Business Services, public hearing for H8, public hearing regarding the proposed 2025-2026 Ontario Montclair District Special Education Local Plan Area Annual Budget Plan. Open.
Madam President, the time is 6:32 p.m.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to say, Phil, please thank Ms. Vanessa. She did a fabulous job presenting at the CAC.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. She is awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Madam President, the time is 6:33 p.m.
Nice, thank you. Under Learning and Teaching, H9, public hearing regarding the first reading of the draft of the 2025-2026 Local Control Accountability Plan. Mic's open at?
Madam President, the time is 6:33 p.m.
6:33 p.m. The mics are open.
Madam President, the time is 6:34 p.m.
Mic's closed, 6:34. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Moving on to H10, first reading of the draft of the 2025-2026 Local Control Accountability Plan. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Seeking a second.
I second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Bringing us down to H11 under Business Services. Public hearing item, public hearing regarding the proposed 2025-2026 fund balances above the minimum recommended reserve for economic uncertainties. Mics open.
Madam President, the time is 6:34 p.m.
6:34, mics are open.
Madam President, the time is 6:35 p.m.
Thank you, sir. Mics are closed. Bringing us down to H12, public hearing regarding the proposed 2025-2026 Ontario Montclair School District budget. Mics are open at?
Madam President, the time is 6:35 p.m.
6:35, come on down.
Madam President, the time is 6:36 p.m.
6:36, mics are now closed. Bringing us down to section I. And I am calling out for Dr. Hector Macias for closed session action.
No items to call out, Madam President.
Okay, I thank you, sir. Moving down to section J, comments and recommendations by the Board of Trustees, starting out with Ms. Sarah.
Good evening, everyone. First of all, happy summer. All of our summer programs are doing very well, and we have just enthusiasm all around. I want to shout out Food and Nutrition Services because celebrating a successful school year and looking ahead, 916,609 breakfast meals, 2,352,896 lunch meals, 686,461 supper meals. That's an astonishing 3,995,966. See, I can do math. I can work with your team. Meals served for the regular school year alone. And this is amazing. This is at all of our school sites together. This is our kids showing up at 7 in the morning, staying with our after-school programs a lot of the time until 6 o'clock. This is amazing. It's our wraparound service. It's great. Thank you, Food and Nutrition Services. And then just thank you to all of our school sites that had promotion ceremonies. We had so many celebrations, so many invitations, and it was just a blessing to see all of our parents. So thank you all so much, and have a great summer. Please do self-care this summer. Take a minute. Okay.
Thank you, Sarah. All right, moving on to Sonia.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. I just want to say it was a great year. We've had a lot of fun going out there and congratulating our eighth graders for promoting. My kids got awards. All three of them got perfect attendance for the year again. So I'm very proud of that. And along with their perfect attendance, they got academic awards. And then my son that's into sports, they won a championship over Memorial Day weekend, so for soccer. So it was great seeing that as well. I have a good tan because of it in the sun all weekend. And I want to congratulate our digital media team. I know they are receiving 13 awards, I believe is what I see here, for the 2025 Publication and Digital Media Excellent winners from the National School Public Relations Association. So congratulations yes. to the team. And I'm glad that we have our story told by us. Every time we went to the budget workshop and a lot, you know, I talked to a couple of the other board members from other districts and they really love what we're doing and getting our story out there academically and everything else that we do. So I really think that this is a great thing for all of us and our students and our teachers, because without this, we couldn't do anything without our teachers or our support staff. So thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you, Sonia. Chris?
Promotions were a happy occasion. It was so nice to see all the families and graduates with smiles on their faces and the teachers. And so that was great. So anyway, have a happy summer. Rest and relax.
Okay, Flora?
I want to give a huge shout out to all the teachers and classifieds for another successful year. And also echo Sonia's comments regarding Irma and the communication team. So, other than that, there's not much else to say, but enjoy your summer and thank you for being here tonight.
Absolutely. Want to echo my colleagues up here. A phenomenal school year. Thank you to everyone involved, teachers, classified, administrators, parents, everyone who made the school year a grand success. And those who aren't working summer school, relax, take time to, you know, binge watch some shows, you know, eat some ice cream and, you know, have a good time and just relaxing, unplug for a while. And those who are working summer school, suckers, no, I'm just kidding. Thank you. And Tish is all, yep. Those who are working summer school, bless you. And, you know, thank you for making summer a good time and a great place to be for our kids. They do enjoy it. and I'm sure the parents do as well. But thank you for doing that for our kids and making it an amazing place to be. I don't know if you guys did catch the news, though, but I did pass my probation. I am officially an eligibility worker, too, so yes. finally. So I am happy doing the work I'm doing. Some of the stories are just heartbreaking. And the work builds up on you, and it's trying at times, but I just have to keep the faith that I'm doing good work for the people of the community, you know, putting food on their plates and helping them pay their rent and keep them going. So I just know that I'm helping our families, you know. You guys are helping them here, and I'm helping them there, and together we make it happen. So thank you for the support. Thank you for understanding when I was not able to make it to many of our events for the past year. I appreciate the support and the kind words that many of you gave me over this past year. Thank you for being there for me. That being said, Dr. Hammond.
Thank you. Yeah. Just want to echo those words. We have a tremendous amount of classified and certificated staff working hard this summer, you know, with our students. You know, another great example of our amazing classified and certificated staff working in partnership, the Bonneview Garden Club took first place at the LA County Fair. So, and that's a product of both classified and certificated staff at the site working well and using it as a vehicle to not only promote things like literacy and reading, but linking with grandparents and families and being kept up and all the curriculum that's around the garden in regards to seed planting. So there's a nice little write-up in our Friday report. And if you want to learn more, I'm sure Mr. Franco wouldn't mind sharing his story of his community garden there. And the awards and recognitions that Ms. Alvarado mentioned for our communications team really is noteworthy. We have the California Schools Public Relations Association, that's CalSPRA, but NSPRA is the National School Public Relations Association. So probably not that you always want to compare, because that's probably not the proper etiquette sometimes, but, you know, just regionally speaking, Corona Norco, which is twice the size of OMSD with, you know, a K-12 spectrum, I think they had 5 recipients. That's, you know, compared to our 12, which kind of shows you the level of notoriety. And I want to give a special commendation not only to Ms. Irma, but Ms. Alondra, because one of the recipients was the digital magazine, which we piloted this year. And it is a huge success. If you're not privy to our digital magazine, talk to Ms. Sandoval or Ms. Irma, learn about it, get on the listserv so that you can get the next edition, which I think is coming out soon, and so maybe it will win an award again next year as it continues to grow. So for a pilot year, getting a national recognition is not a bad thing. So well done.
Before I move forward, we must give thanks and applause to our own Ontario PD and our campus safety, always being there for us, please. You guys didn't think I'd forget you all the way, did you? Thank you. All right. Moving on to section L, what'd you forget? Oh, okay. You guys are doing something else. All right. Section L, information or announcements. We have L1, recruitment process for representatives to serve on the Ontario Montclair School District Special Education Local Plan Area Community Advisory Committee. Oh, that's a short title. Really? We can't condense it somehow. Information is available. L2, future agenda items. You guys know the routine. L3, next regular board meeting, June 26 at 6 p.m. Open session right here, Central Language Academy. And moving on to section M, adjournment. I need a second.
I second.
All in favor, everybody at the dais and everybody in the room, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned. Have a good summer. Aye.